Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Yeah, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney ready to go. Company to you here on this beautiful Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio. We're coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today. Just go to RocketMortgageSquares.com. So we have some good topics today. The situation with Deshaun Watson still there. It's a big one, not going away till it goes away. Kyrie Irving spoke, and he spoke at length. Stevie Cohen and the Mets have an absolute mess on their hands. And buddy Bruce Arians making some headlines. What up, T? How you doing?
All's good, man. I love that Bruce Arians is stirring the pot for Tom Brady. I don't think that Tom can do that himself and say how he feels, but Bruce is doing it for him just a little bit.
Interesting.
Which I think is kind of cool for the head coach NFC Championship game.
Didn't think you would go in there. We might see this a little differently. For those who missed it, Bruce Arians sat down with Peter King. And basically, what Bruce said is that, you know, he is allowing Tom Brady to coach something that Bill Belichick and the Pats did not do. So, I actually don't like this at all, but I want to give you first credit.
Why don't you like it? I don't understand why. Well, what's not to like?
Number one, I think it's a little shallow, quite frankly, for a guy. And you're going to ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth. And we love Bruce. Mm-hmm. You know that. But Bruce's resume can't shine Bill's shoes.
Of course not.
Okay. So to go here before the NFC Championship game, while I like Bruce's bravado, and I always have, he set himself up to look bad if they lose. Now, if they win and they lose the Super Bowl, I still think he leaves himself open. But I don't think really Bruce even cares about that. Otherwise, Bruce doesn't worry about that stuff.
No, he doesn't.
The reason I don't like it, I don't even know if like is the right word. I don't think it has an impact on the game this weekend. Let me be clear
about
that,
obviously. I think it has zero impact on the game.
But the optics, a good coach basically questioning the methods of the greatest coach of all time.
But I don't think he's questioning
the
methods.
To me, it's a little petty.
He's just striking the difference between what Tom Brady experienced as the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots and what he does with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And maybe that's because of necessity, right? Maybe because in New England, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels wanted all of that control over the messaging and what guys are supposed to do and, the ins and outs of the X's and O's. Whereas in Tampa, Bruce Arians is relying on Tom Brady's experience to help coach some of these younger players on this team. Because they got a young team, relatively speaking. I mean, Mike Evans is a stud, but he's only in his, fourth year? Same thing with Chris Godwin, who's younger, and, Ronald Jones.
I think Evans has been around more now. He played with Manziel. Mike Evans got to be.
He definitely had a contract. He definitely is in his fifth year. But still, he's young. He's 27 years old. So I think it's good that Tom Brady is able to use his experience and help these guys come along. Like, I know that you saw the story last weekend about Devin White. Devin White, who was their outstanding middle linebacker, made play after play after play last weekend. And he was upset earlier in the year because he didn't make the Pro Bowl. I guess this was probably, 2 weeks ago, whenever they announced the Pro Bowl, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Not that they're even playing a game.
It's just an acknowledgement. The recognition.
It's an acknowledgement.
As they should.
Yes. But,
as they should.
And it's going to, this is how it should be, by the way. If you make the Pro Bowl, then you get the Pro Bowl. You don't get the dropout, and then there's 16 extra Pro Bowlers, as we see every single year, which you get to add to your resume. Mm-hmm. But Devin White didn't make the Pro Bowl, and, you know, Tom Brady approached him. He was upset about it. So Tom Brady approached him and said, look, there's a bigger bowl that we're looking after. And it made Devin White feel better. And here they are in the NFC Championship game, and that feels like a reality. And so when you talk to Devin White about Tom Brady, this isn't even an X's and O's conversation. It's just a perspective conversation. And Tom's been there 14 times in the NFC and the championship game, not the NFC, obviously, the AFC championship game. That experience means something. I think it's great. I think, and the fact that Bruce Arians is highlighting it is, I think, even more special to create that or solidify their bond, which a lot of people thought was fractured at points in this season.
Yeah, well, there is certainly some truth on the back end of that statement where, you know, in terms of solidifying a bond or you know, just fostering a deeper trust and a deeper growth. No, there's definitely a residual benefit from to Brady and the Brady Arians or the Brady Bucks or the Brady Arians Bucks dynamic.
Yeah.
By saying what he said, but there's two separate issues here.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Bruce Arians has granted him the freedom to do that. That he's got the latitude to do that. That's not my beef. My beef is inserting the words New England into this. That's where you lose me. Bill Belichick has won 6 Super Bowls since 2001 with that you're lucky enough to coach now, all right? Now, this might work out well. They win the Super Bowl, there's no beef. And by the way, even if they lose, even if they lost 30-7 this week, which they won't, but if they did, Belichick's not the type to fire back. But can you imagine if they lose this week and Belichick somehow, because he's not going to tweet this, but he plants with somebody. Hey, listen, you know what? We didn't allow him to coach. We didn't need him because we had coaches. I mean, can you just imagine, like, if the Bucks play poorly this weekend, it's going.
Yeah, but he can't do that.
It just, yeah, he won't do it, but he can't. I know he wouldn't do
because
that,
because he can't. That disparages Tom Brady. And I think at the end of the day, isn't Bruce just having...
Bruce just disparaged Bill Belichick.
He disparaged the protocol or the way things are done in New England. I don't think he was disparaging. He was just saying how different it is. And I think this is something that Tom Brady craved. And we always were looking for that answer. Why would he bounce after 19 seasons and all those, you know, all the success? Why would he bounce? Because he was looking for something else. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was looking to be, you know, that mentor that he just never was allowed to be.
But how do we know that?
I don't know. We don't know that.
No, I mean, how do we know?
But how do we know that Tom, like, the only reason I can only deduce that Bruce Arians is getting this from Tom Brady. Because how else would Bruce know? You know what I mean? So, you know, like,
just being a coach and just kind of knowing how other franchises comport them, how they run.
But
we know how certain businesses and certain shows, like other shows other than ours, we kind of have a sense of what they do and how they do it because it's our business. Bruce is a coach, and he's been a coach for a long time for a lot of franchises. I'm pretty sure he's got a little more than a rudimentary feel, and he's got relationships all over the league. He's got to have a little more than a rudimentary feel for how the Pats, you know. And by the way, we have more than I have more than a rudimentary feel than how the Pats did business. It was a dictatorship, and it was a successful one. I didn't like this. There's been far worse. I just view it as unnecessary, which might not matter, because if you win, then it doesn't matter.
That's right.
But, you know, like, just a little, and if shot's the wrong word, whatever, a minimization of the great, like, yeah, they did what they did in New England because they did it the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks have yet to do anything comparable to that.
Yeah, they made this the first time they've made the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl.
yeah, exactly. So and I'm not saying that he's necessarily putting on the same exact ground with what the Pats did.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's an unjust elevation of what they've been doing together. They've been together for 5 or 6 months and they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Talk to me when you get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's
a big
deal.
And maybe more specifically, talk to me when you win the Super Bowl.
But that's a big deal. Think about that. You leave where you've been, and you're someplace new, a new organization, a new playbook, a new coordinator, asking you to do things that you're not all comfortable with. There's new receiving core to get used to, offensive line. All that, it's all new.
With twice the weapons you ever had with the Pats, by the way.
But still, it's
important.
It's all new. And at the end of the day, they had no time to really install it other than training camp once it started. And training camp was, half of it, they didn't even get on the field, right? When the first half of the training camp, the first whatever it was, 2 weeks, week and a half, it was all about conditioning. Like, they didn't even anything. Which is crazy to think about. No two-a-days, basically running around in your underwear the whole time. By underwear, I mean not pads. And, then you get, now at the end of the season, you're in the NFC Championship. That's a big deal. That's a lot.
It's
a huge accomplishment.
But it's not as huge as six championships since 2001 like the Pats have on their mantle in their mantle.
Here's the thing. I've said this often, and I'm usually right about this. No team is ever a player away. Like, you've heard me say this
a
million times.
You've said it a lot.
No, you're not. It's just too much of a team game to say, we just need a left tackle. We just need a middle linebacker or a shutdown corner or an elite wide receiver, like people are saying about the Ravens right now. We just need the right quarterback. That never works. It actually worked with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They needed one player, and that was Tom Brady. And I think what Bruce is saying, tertiarily maligning the New England Patriots is Tom Brady, because I think this is more about Tom Brady. Tom Brady was literally that one player. We were a player away.
Haven't won anything yet.
Yeah, but BT, they've won two playoff games.
Understood.
This is, they have not been in the playoffs since 2002.
I understand that. It's great.
I mean, it's 18 seasons, 17 seasons.
They
haven't been in the postseason in 17 years, and Tom Brady gets them not only into the postseason, but he gets them, by the way, they didn't win the division, so they got into the postseason the hard way, had to play in the wild card round, beat this team that they lost to twice by a collective 72-26 combined score, and now they're in the NFC Championship game. That's a huge success.
I think
Bruce Arians is just acknowledging the importance of Tom Brady, that one guy who made the difference, which never ever is the case, and you never are a guy away. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the one exception I can think off the top of my head. They were a guy away, and they got their guy.
Give me an average quarterback in the NFL this past season. Whomever
average
jumps into your head, yeah, we know the stats.
Tua Tagovailoa.
No, Tua. I need more.
A non-rookie. So
non-rookie. I need more meat, more stat, more evaluation.
A hard one. Andy Dalton.
Okay. Or Andy Dalton, you want to even take Jared Goff? Slightly above average?
Yeah.
If Jared Goff is the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucs this year, and again, this is not to diminish the greatness of Tom Brady, but it's my opinion. Now, I don't know if they would have beaten the Saints, but they would have been a playoff team.
No, come on.
I believe that. They were almost a playoff team with Jameis Winston throwing 30 picks.
No.
30!
No, they weren't almost a playoff team.
They were in contention until the final 2 weeks of the season last year.
No.
They were on the periphery of a wild card.
Yeah, okay.
They were.
Hold on. Jameis Winston also led the league in touchdowns last year.
Okay, so he was plus three. So they threw, 33 touchdowns, 30 picks?
33 touchdowns, 30 picks.
How many
TDs? Might have been 31.
I think it was 31-30.
33, I think 30, I think it was.
Okay, so he's plus three.
Plus three, he was.
Plus three.
Yes.
Jared Goff, even on a subpar season.
Jeff Garrett Goff was pretty bad.
But Jared Goff is still plus 20 or plus, well, no, that's a little bit ambitious, plus 15. No matter what, Jared Goff is rolling out of bed and throwing 15 more touchdowns than picks.
Yeah,
and if you insert that on the Bucs last year,
they would have been
a playoff team.
I can't co-sign that.
I can't
say that.
Why?
That's a substitutable player for Tom Brady is Jared Goff, and they'd be at the same spot.
About for Jameis Winston, who threw multiple pick sixes to lose games.
Yes, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers
didn't have that far to go. Teak.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they had an elite season this year. When you turn around and look at it, they lost two bad games, really three, but one was on Tom Brady, and that was early in the season. They lost two bad games to the Saints. Other than that, they were pretty dang good. The Chiefs game was also bad, but the Chiefs are the best team in football.
Right.
And other than that, they were really good.
And when they had
to beat a team who had beat them twice already, they laid it down on them in the second half.
Which, by the way, is statistically easier.
No, it's actually not.
You want to bet?
It's statistically harder. I think it's two-thirds of the – it's 66% of the time the team that won the first two wins the third one.
Exactly. That's right. So the team that wins wins overwhelmingly the third time.
That's right.
But the reason I say that, a lot of people say – oh, it's hard to beat a team three times in a year.
It is hard.
No, it's not. It's a lot easier.
But it's hard to game plan against a team three times. I think that's
But it's
really,
not because that's the stats say that you win a lot more, and that's obviously after game planning.
Yeah, but some of that is mental, and it really is.
The numbers are the numbers, though. It's 30 years of data.
But here's the thing. It's also very rare. Yeah. It's 30 years of data, but it's very rare that it's a season sweep. It's very rare that it's the Saints are beating the Buccaneers twice. So it's really the third time. That becomes complicated because of the game plan. At least that's my estimation of it.
Okay.
The stats will lie to you, obviously. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they took care of business. And not just offensively, they did it defensively. I mean, this team is balanced. It's well put together. They took an entirely different way to beat Drew Brees as opposed to playing, I think it was like 60% zone. They played, 20% zone and blitzed them and got after them and played man and said,
throw
it in tight windows. Todd Bowles made great adjustments and Tom Brady made big plays. So I don't know if Jared Goff is doing that. Oh, I really don't.
Okay, that's fine.
I know Tom Brady did, and Bruce Arians is trying to give him credit for doing so.
Understood. My contention is they didn't have that much to go before being a playoff team. I mean, you're talking like they have the top record in the NFC. They don't. Mm-hmm. The Packers are the top seed. You're talking like they won the division. They didn't. The Saints did.
Nope.
I mean, so, yeah, they had a good season. Let's not make it out to be
epic. They're in the NFC Championship game.
But they haven't won it yet. I'm talking about, so far to this point, it's been really good. I'm not trying to undersell it. It's been really good. No question. But, again, and I'm looking at it, last year, the Tampa Bay Bucs, with Jameis Winston, won four straight games from late November into mid-December, and they even their record at 7-7. And as I said before, they went into the final 2 weeks with a chance to get a wild card spot, and they wound up losing.
Yeah, because
twice.
Their quarterback was bad.
But
Jameis Winston was bad.
But my point is, Jared Goff is not bad.
Jared Goff was great. Jared Goff was great down the stretch this year with the number one defense in football. I don't think so. Look, here's what Bruce Arians said.
Kirk Cousins going to win 11 games with the Bucs this year? Yes.
I don't think so. They are 13-5 this season, and this is what Bruce Arians said. He said he's a consummate leader. So this is less about like him doing all these other things. Has been all year long. Got the air of confidence. This is Bruce's quote.
Yep.
That permeates through every team every day. I allow him to be himself. Like New England, they didn't allow him to coach. That's all he says about New England. They didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch. And I know what he means. That means in a meeting or the offensive meeting room, he gets up and he's talking through a play about why something happened or didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And he can do that. Not a lot of coaches have the
confidence.
Yeah, the self-confidence. The self-confidence lets someone else do that.
Yep.
But when you're dealing with Tom Brady, you let him do it. I suspect in Denver, when Peyton Manning showed up, whoever it was, I forget who the coordinator was his first year, because eventually it became Adam Gase, but I forget who it was originally. Whoever that was like, okay, Peyton.
Yeah, what are we doing, Peyton?
It's your floor.
Show me the way, buddy.
Show us the way. And that's all he's saying, and I don't mind it at all, because he's talking about why they had the success that they had, and it was a lot because of Tom Brady.
I don't disagree.
Coach Brady.
Coach Brady. I don't mind it either. I just don't like weaving in, comparatively speaking, mm-hmm. New England. Mm. You could have just accomplished the message and hit the messaging without using the words New England.
Unless Brady wanted him to.
Well, yeah, maybe, I guess. That's just saying. It's possible. It's possible. It's funny, though, because it's kind of a 180, because when we had – and we've had on a million times, but we had him on one of the big shows that made a lot of news, was he flat out said Antonio Brown's not coming.
Yeah.
And we asked him a million follow-ups, and that's what generated the news. But one of the questions was, what if Tom Brady wants him? He's like, no, doesn't matter. He didn't always let Brady coach.
I make the rules. He doesn't let Brady GM. He lets him coach.
Nicely played.
Nice.
I got you. All right, let's get to this coming up next here. So, by the way, the rules have changed for interviewing potential head coaching candidates. Probably couple of minutes too late for some people, but why did they do this? What is the intent to accomplish? And, you know, did they really miss the mark? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hopefully everybody's doing well. We'll get to Kyrie Irving, spoke at length. Kyrie, and it was a little bit of a mixed bag. There's some things that I heard that are concerning, actually, quite frankly. But I thought he was pretty candid, and I thought he spoke his truth. And I think Net fans are going to back him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a little worried about Kyrie Irving, though. And I'll tell you why, because there was something that I heard and some body language, too, that I wasn't loving. And this is me not – I'm not going back to the, you know, bury Kyrie Irving. Well, I did what I had to do last week and 2 weeks ago when he was unprofessional, in my opinion. This is not about trying to regurgitate that and just, you know, kick him while he's down or be overly unnecessarily aggressive. I'm actually a little worried about Kyrie Irving. So we'll get to that coming up at 4 Eastern. And, Teak, this is interesting here, buddy. The coaching carousel right now, 7 openings, 5 filled. The word continues to spread that, and we mentioned this yesterday, that Josh McDaniels is emerging as the favorite for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Maybe some backdoor, back channel, last second emergence changes that. But right now, it looks like it's going to be him. So that would be 6 of the 7. The lone opening would be the Houston Texans, who are now benefiting from a rule that just suddenly came out of nowhere from the NFL, that you are now allowed to interview coaches still coaching now rather than having to wait for their seasons to end.
Yeah.
Eric Bieniemy benefits from this, which is good. But for Eric, what do you make of this?
Look, I think the NFL realizes how they're missing on Bieniemy, and as an extension on the Rooney Rule, that is a very qualified African American coordinator who has a Super Bowl title and has been identified as integral to the success of the Kansas City Chiefs, not getting an actual chance, and some of that. Hampering of his chance has to do with this NFL rule. Mm-hmm. If a team is really good, like the Kansas City Chiefs have been for really a decade since Andy Reid has been there, but now the last couple of years getting to the Super Bowl, you just keep, like, there's no opportunity. Like, teams have to move. They can't just sit and wait and say, all right, we're going to wait until potentially February, like, 7th in order to hire our head coach when other teams have done it, you know, early January after they've gone through their processes and interviewed all the candidates they wanted to. I think what made this easy to happen, and I think it's, I don't know if it's permanent like this, BT.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get clarity on that. I don't know if it's a permanent change.
It didn't strike me
in this rule. No,
it didn't strike me.
Yeah, it didn't strike me either. I think it's a temporary change, mainly because of how they can facilitate these interviews.
Zooms,
right? It's all via Zoom, and until you are ready to hire a guy, you're probably not bringing him in for an in-person interview anyways. And so they've changed this rule, and it's about time. I mean, really, when you think about it, it's like a stupid rule. I know that, you know, before it's always been, let's get in person. Let's have a, you know, dinner. Let's have the guy tour the facility. Let's get all of these, you know, up close and personal interactions with head coaches. And that's how you determine whether or not you like him or see him fitting your organization. But in 2021, we should know that, like, everything happens via technology. And if you really have an interest, you can dig deeper simply by logging on to a computer like I've done for the last 11 months to have a conversation with you every day.
Yeah,
On Tiki and Tierney. It works.
Very few hiccups, I hear you. I mean, listen, it needs updating because it's antiquated for the reasons that Tiki just identified. And let me read for a moment. It says the NFL's anti-tampering rules state that first interviews for a head coach need to take place during wild card weekend for teams with a bye and during the divisional round for teams without a bye. Now, both of those windows have shut. But obviously, as per reports, the NFL's made an exemption this week for teams with head coaching vacancies to interview coaches who are still in the playoffs as long as their current team consents, which obviously the Kansas City Chiefs had. And Todd Bowles, by the way, will benefit from this. Todd Bowles will interview with the Eagles, though. Again, are they just doing that to satisfy? I don't know. Well, I know that Deuce Daly, they spoke to Deuce, but I don't know. Are they really serious about Todd? They might be. He's a very, very great defensive mind. The thing that I think, and I don't even necessarily think that there's anything wrong with this. Listen, the NFL, They're sitting back here saying, and listen, Rob Saleh is the first Muslim-American head coach in the history of the NFL. That's not going to generate the amount of attention as somebody like Eric Bieniemy, although on a lot of levels you can certainly say that it should.
Yeah.
That Eric Bieniemy,
oh, without a doubt.
You know what I mean? When Eric, but it hasn't. But when it's about his presence and it's about, you know, his relationships and his harrowing experience as his brother on 9/11, it's not. I mean, yes, it taps into his Muslim culture and background for sure. But we haven't had years of debates on these shows talking about when will the playing field become more even in the NFL for Muslim Americans.
Yeah.
It's been more so about the African Americans, both at the head coach and the general manager or the decision-making position. The NFL's not dumb in terms of, well, certain things they are. Let me take that back. But with this, common sense is kicking in. And to me, it's not about Zoom, which actually makes it easier to do this, obviously. This is about them sitting there saying, geez, we are just about done with this cycle.
Yeah.
And in the year 2020, even though it's now 2021, and all the residue from 2020, and the unrest and the combustibility of emotions and the political discourse and, you know, the heated racial tensions and all the things that we've gone through, as we know, the NFL's sitting there saying, are we going to really hire 7 men and not one of them be African-American?
Yeah. No,
that's,
you're right.
I just think it's a
I think you're absolutely right, BT.
Mid-course correction. And quite frankly, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. And it should have been a long time coming, BT. Because think about there haven't been a ton of black coordinators. I mean, defensive coordinators, yes.
Yeah, not offensive.
But for the longest time, it was always about, we need the offensive guru, that offensive play caller, that offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
That was the mantra for the next head coach. But there was no black, you know, offensive coordinator. So how the heck was that even going to, you know, transpire? And then if you did happen to have one, as in the case with Eric Bieniemy, they've been so good that he's just unavailable. And it's not like Andy Reid is holding him back. Like I need Eric Bieniemy. I'm sure he really enjoys his relationship with him. But I think Andy Reid, especially after winning his Super Bowl last year, is at that point where he's thinking a lot about his tree. Like the tree matters for coaches once they hit that elite status.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right? And it's like, all right, who have I produced?
Yeah.
And
what's my legacy? Besides being a champion or, you
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
That's right. How do you add on to your legacy? And I think it's the reason that you're a coach. I mean, you coach to make players great. Like the guys that you are charged with, you make them great. The same thing can be said about the coaches that are under you. You take some pride in these guys you helped, you know, grow in the business and get their opportunity and ultimately thrive themselves. And Eric Bieniemy, who's been there now as the coordinator 4 years, I think, or is it 3 years he's been the coordinator? I think it's three.
The
because
coordinator's
Nagy,
been three.
Because Nagy was there right before.
Yeah,
right?
Three years.
So 3 years, but he's been there for, I don't know, 6 years,
six.
7 years.
Six
as
or
the
seven.
Running back coach and then the coordinator. So he's done his duty.
He's climbed the ladder.
To Andy Reid. He's done
he's
it the right
the
way.
Ladder, man.
It's like,
say
all right,
for what it is. He's climbed the ladder.
This is what you need to be a head coach in the NFL as a black coach, African-American coach.
Yeah.
He's done it all. And the only thing that's holding him back right now, or at least was the fact that they were so good he couldn't get his interviews. At the end of the day, next year, if there is not the coronavirus and you can travel freely, I hope that they keep this in place, BT, on a Monday. Yes, coach, sorry, I got to take off for, 8 hours or 12 hours, however long it is. We'll take a private plane, get me there, get me back, and I'm not going to miss my duties. I know I'm going to, you know, double time work it, but you can't negate the opportunity for guys like Eric Bieniemy, which over the last couple of years, it feels like it has been.
That goes without saying. Hell, they don't even have to leave the state. The team that is interested can fly in their plane.
That's a great point.
And you can meet on the tarmac.
That's a great point.
And you chop it up for three or 4 hours and get a sense of, okay, is this somebody I want to take another step with? And based on being on an airplane for 3 or 4 hours, you talk concepts, you talk people, you shake somebody's hand, you look them in the eye, you should have a workable sense of if this is something I want to pursue. It's like dating. Do
I didn't even think about it that way. That's even easier.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
It's not that hard when you have money
to
cut corners and make things happen.
And they do.
They do. So, you know, it's just, yeah, listen, I have always been a proponent and I always will be of the best person getting the job. I mean, I don't like, nobody does, when one of the perceived best people is not able to even enter the fray to get the job. Mm-hmm. I'm also very reluctant to say that the men who have been hired are not the right hires. I don't think that that's fair either. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, no. I think they're actually mutually exclusive.
I love Campbell. Yeah. I love Arthur Smith. Obviously, Rob Salah's a minority. You know, he's my media. If anybody, nobody loves him more than me. I look like him. I love the guy.
Yeah.
But it's a painful look for the NFL if McDaniels gets the Eagles job and insert whomever you want for the Texans.
Yeah.
If it's not Bowles and it's not Bieniemy
or
that
Marvin
point,
Lewis or somebody like that. Yeah, I don't know.
But if it's a white person.
Dayball. Say it's Dayball.
Say it's Dayball for the Bills, right? You've got six white men and one Arab, Muslim American.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes against everything that we've talked about for a long time.
That's right.
But again, I what the Lions did, I love Campbell.
Yeah.
I love these hirings.
Yeah.
But it's still not right. I mean, Bieniemy's got to be able to walk in on the dance floor and try to cut up the rug for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to tap him on the shoulder and say, come on, your turn to dance.
Yeah.
And the guys, I don't know. You know, the problem, Bieniemy, God, it's so interesting. Because I'm watching that game. And, of course, Andy Reid says, fourth down, we're going for it. That's a given. That's not Eric Bieniemy saying, Andy, no, that's 1,000% Reid. But that play call? I'd like to know the mechanism behind that call.
Yeah.
And you know what? And my heart tells me that it's Andy Reid. Is there some collaboration? Yeah, before the week. Hey, if we're here, what do you think? Yes, it's flushed through, clearly. But if Bieniemy made that call, which I don't think he did, but if he did, Andy Reid needs to say that.
Yeah, I agree.
He needs to say that.
By the way, I think you're right. It is still Arab American, even though he's Muslim.
Okay.
Still Arab American.
No, I got you. So we'll see. Nice mid-cycle course correction by the NFL. Could be a little too late, but we'll see. Maybe they enact this or they implement this for forever moving forward, as Tiki brought up, which would be a pretty good idea. All right, let's get the update for Mac. We'll come back. Inbounds, out of bounds. Kyrie Irving stuff at the top of the hour. Axe update right now. Here's Rich. All right, Kyrie Irving had a lot to say today. Tiki and I will get to that coming up top of the hour, 4 Eastern here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, it is time for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Granger. Take a look at the one who got it done this week, DeMar DeRozan of the Spurs. And they're playing pretty well. They've won 6 of 8. And in his last 8 games, DeRozan's putting in 20 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists a night. And he's making a point to get to the free throw line as well. Something he usually does, with Toronto, he obviously got to the stripe quite a bit. Never really a 3-point shooter, more an attack the rim kind of a guy. Almost 7 attempts per game, good for 11th in the NBA. So he's getting to the stripe and he's connecting. So he's playing well. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. For all the ones who get it done, Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgranger.com safety or just stop on by. All right, Tiki and Tierney, the Kyrie Irving stuff is coming up next. But Tiki, let's jump into it. A good inbounds, out of bounds menu. You ready to roll? You got it?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, let's start with the Ravens, who were eliminated from the playoffs this weekend. Ugly performance against the Bills. Obviously, Lamar got concussed. Nothing on offense. 3 points. They lost 17-3. Now the team has released backup quarterback Robert Griffin III, and sources say they're also getting ready to part, or they actually maybe even have. It depends upon the outlet. With 3-time Pro Bowl running back Mark Ingram, 2 seasons in Baltimore. He's 31. Some mixed results here. Rushing for over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns a year ago. And by the way, his greatest contribution is that soundbite with Lamar. Oh, my God, that is just, I could listen to that all day. But also carrying the ball just 72 times for 300 yards this year. So last year, really good. This year, pretty much not a lot of action. In or out, Ingram can still be an every down lead back in the NFL.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT. He's hit that point where he can be useful as a backup, but not as a guy you're going to give 300 carries or even 200 carries a year. And one of the reasons that he was deemed expendable for the game day roster And they mentioned this on one of the broadcasts. I think it was the wild card game, is that he doesn't play special teams.
Yep.
And with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards being the two backs that, I guess, complement Lamar Jackson best, there was just no place to carry a third running back on the roster. So I think it's unfortunate because he's had a good career, not a great career,
no,
but he's had a good career and done some good things both in New Orleans and here at Baltimore. But yeah, I think his time as a lead guy is done.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, he's only had a couple of good seasons.
Yeah,
if you really look at it, if Mark Ingram went to an obscure college rather than the most popular one out there right now in terms of college football being a factory of winning and pumping out pros, you know, you'd say, all right, nice little run. You made a few bucks. You had, you know, 2-3 good seasons, and that's pretty much it. Really, but how many guys get that load? That I know we're kind of programmed to say, well, can he carry 300 times? Only two guys got 300 carries year.
Nobody does anymore.
Nobody does. Derrick Henry had over 3, Dalvin Cook, and then, you know, you had a bunch of guys. I mean, you know, Kenyon Drake was number 7 in the NFL. He had below 240 carries. So it's changed a lot. He's had some seasons where he's had 50 receptions. He catches a decent. He's a good energy guy, good locker room guy. He's tough. He can play in cold weather, obviously. You know, grind out some tough yards when it's inclement weather. I'm going to say inbounds, understanding that the role of the feature back is completely defined differently.
Yeah.
Under no illusions as to what he is, but if he's in the right situation, I think Ingram's got another year or two where he can be valuable, however you want to frame franchise running back or lead back.
Are you in or are you out?
He is a college legend, though, winning the Heisman.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Absolutely. All right, Teague. So, as we know, Drew Brees' time in New Orleans getting ready to come to a close, but the Saints might have to find a new lead target for the next quarterback here. Michael Thomas played just 7 regular season games this year, including injuries, multiple off-the-field issues. Remember, he had a fight at practice, a complete no-show in the team's playoff loss to the Bucs, 0 receptions, only 4 targets. But now maybe we kind of know why. He was really, really banged up, and there were reports that he strongly, I could say surmises, but knows it's Drew Brees' final season and wanted to grind it out to try to get a championship with Drew before he hangs it up. But now there's reports, Ian Rappaport, the Saints were cash strapped. They could deal him. And Adam Schefter says Thomas will need off-season ankle surgery. So, there's a lot of play there. He's not a kid. Not old, but he's not a kid. Ankle surgery for a speed position. In or out, the Saints would need to get back at least 2 first-round picks for Thomas in a trade.
I don't know if they're actually going to move him, because if you do, you lose this elite player unless they know that he's physically as compromised. So you need at least 2. I'm going to say out of bounds. I think, you know, it's different than NBA where you have to try to make the money match. It's really what can you get another team to stomach if you're trying to move him.
Yeah.
But it's a fall off from where he was last year. 149 receptions that led the league, and 1,725 yards, which also led the league, to 438. And he only played in 5 games. No, 7 games he played in, only started 5.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. He's only 27, but he'll be 28 next year. You're right. He's not old, but you worry about this cumulative injury issue. I think they probably give him 1 more year before they try to move him, but yep. I don't think you need all of that to get someone to take him.
Yeah, let me put it this way. There's no way I'd give up 2 first-round picks for Michael Thomas at this point. I would not do it. Like, if I'm a team and I am deficient on offense and I'm obviously in the market to upgrade – I'd certainly have a conversation with the Saints. What is it going to take? If they're hell-bent on 2 first-round picks, click, we don't have any deal here, because it's not worth it at this point. It's just not. I mean, there's a lot of receivers coming out in the draft here. It's been an abundance of offensive players. Look at Justin Jefferson. What did he go, 23rd?
Yeah.
Look at the season he had. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. So if the Saints think they could get back 2, I think they're grossly misreading the market. You never know. I mean, you just have one wacky person like Bill O'Brien, you know, wacky in the football sense. I'm not, you know, making fun of the guy, but, you know, somebody who would make a dumb football deal as Bill did. I don't see this happening. You're not getting 2 first round picks for Michael Thomas. No.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. So we were all worried when the Warriors started the season. They started pretty roughly, a couple of blowout losses, granted to 2 very good teams, but still. Steph and company have rebounded a bit. They've improved to 7-6 with a win against the Lakers last night, which was definitely impressive. They were down by 14 in the fourth, and the Warriors stormed back to a thanks to a 15-2 run, and they were able to cap it off. They got 8 points from Curry in the final 3 minutes and 36 seconds. Now, they're 7-4 in their last 11, including wins over the Blazers, Clippers, and Lakers, while Steph is third in the NBA in scoring. So, and we had this conversation coming in. This was my most intriguing storyline of the season, and it's a good time to ask it again. Steph is silencing the criticism that he can't carry a winning team on his shoulders, in or out.
You know,
good question.
It is, because it's not about them winning, and it's not about him doing it all. But I want to say inbounds. I think he is silencing him a little bit, because there's a lot of young players that are contributing here, and they need the leadership of Steph Curry. And we're seeing it, whether it's Oubre or Andrew Wiggins or Eric Paschal. I mean, these guys, they're stepping up and making it. It's like they're older than they or have more experience than they actually do. So I'm going to say inbounds. I think he is silencing some critics. And it's not just because he's, you know, scoring 40 points a game, which he's not. He's only averaging 26 or so points a game. Yeah. But you know that, like last night, when he has to make a shot, he's going to make that shot. And, you know, if he does that consistently, then I think he ultimately fully will silence his critics.
I've never been a detractor of Steph. Why would you be? But pertaining to this question, I am a detractor. I believe the answer is out of bounds. He has not silenced the critics yet. I mean, they're barely over 500. Yeah, I know. They play better when you kind of wipe away the first couple of games, but they also beat, I know they beat a couple of decent teams the last few games. Lakers are terrific, but they also beat the Bulls. Yeah, they beat a couple of teams that are going nowhere. The Pistons early on, that was a...
All teams are jacked up this year, so...
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird.
The Bulls beat the Mavs the other day. I was like, what? Mavericks? They're scuffling a little bit, man.
A little bit. You just got Porzingis back, and Doncic didn't come in great shape. Actually, they're a player away from being championship, but they should be a little bit more consistent than they've been, to your point. His PER, and I hate to get all geeky on you here, but like the PER is barely 22. It's nothing. It's not like they're winning, and Steph has, for those who don't know, generally, a PER for an MVP is in that, like, 31, 32-ish range. He's 10 full points below that. He's playing well. I'm going to leave it at that. He's playing well. Like, if we didn't know his history, I wouldn't look at Steph this year and say, wow, what an elevator. He is winning the MVP. He's been good, and they've been okay. Kyrie Irving next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.